Rock Salt Newscast Experience with Aaron, Dave, Patrick, and Jermaine on a mission from God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding.
We're on a mission from God.
Yeah, man, on a mission from God. It's Aaron and Dave today. Maybe Jermaine will jump in a little later, but we got the big Rev here today. He's going to rev up the show.
Right.
Back together.
Forget it. Don't wait.
We're on a mission from God.
And we're going to talk WrestleMania and new music.
New music.
Putting the band back together.
Ma'am, you got to understand that this is a lot bigger than any domestic problems you might be experiencing.
Would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matt here to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Yeah, you know, usually I have more to say here, but I really don't today.
Then you lie to me about the band. Now you're going to put me right back in the joint.
They're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from God.
I think I told you last week I read an article that said the mission from God for Dan and John Belushi was actually reviving the careers of all those old blues guys.
I think they did a good job.
I think they did a great job.
Yeah.
Did anybody bother seeing the second Blues Brothers movie? Anybody?
I didn't even know there was one. So
yeah, Blues Brothers 2000 with Jim Belushi.
Works in mysterious ways.
Yep. All right. Fixed all the problems.
Yeah.
How do you just like in the middle of doing something and you don't touch anything? The computer, the board, everything went, nope, I'm not doing this today. And just wiped everything out.
Yes.
Didn't touch a thing, I swear.
Yes.
Swear.
It's true. You probably dealt with some technical issues at a concert or two.
Oh, yes. You know? Well, actually, this past show that we had last Sunday, I was doing a festival in Boonville, Arkansas. And yeah, we was having my earpieces wasn't working. I had to pull both of them out of my ears. And then the sound kept, it was a rough run, but we got through it.
I'm going to tell you that just by the name of the place, Boonville, Arkansas, it makes me think that they don't even have Wi-Fi.
Well, it's a small little town in Arkansas. It's about 30, 45 minutes from here as well.
What's a small town in Arkansas?
I was going to say, did the whole town show up at the show?
Pretty much. I mean, it was
like 1,000 or two.
Right in the middle. Oh, not that many. It was right in the middle of downtown.
Okay, all right. Oh, wow.
So you've
just released an album.
Yes.
You've got a couple singles.
Yes.
Is that your footprint on the take a stand?
No, it's not.
Like a boot. You have. Okay.
No, I don't actually own a pair of boots. I know.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
I don't live in the South and you don't own a pair of boots.
No, I'm telling you, man. I guess I wasn't meant to be born here, but I don't know what's going on.
Are you a city kid?
I'm an LA Dodgers fan. I'm an LA Lakers fan and an LA Rams fan. So I don't know what's
going on. But you're not from LA.
No, I know. People ask me that all the time because the back of my truck, I got it decked out with, you know, my teams and stuff. And everybody's always asking me, are you from LA, man? Are you from LA? I'm like, no, I'm not. So,
hey, you know what? When Aaron, when you get out to wherever you go out there in the South, and people go, are you from California? What's the answer?
Yeah.
No.
No?
The answer is no.
No?
I'm not from California. I hate those people. I never want to be one of those people. Because my experience, like when I moved up to Montana and I told somebody, a friendly person, that I was from California, he's like, yeah, don't tell anybody that here. They don't like Californians.
Oh, wow.
Well, I am, you know, we have a Hyundai Santa Fe, and I am trying to figure where I can put a gun rack in the Santa Fe, so I fit in somewhere.
Just get yourself a deer and tie it to the hood.
That's it. You know, put a bunch of stickers like I belong to a duck Duck Hunting Club and
NRA
all that.
Stickers.
Yes.
And don't forget your Punisher sticker.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
A Blue Lives Matter sticker. I'm trying. Oh, the Gadsden flag sticker. Got to have that one.
You got that's hey, y'all hitting it. Y'all are hitting it right on the head, man.
Yeah. See, I never even been there. Never even been there.
Yeah.
And I'm not. Hey, I'm not talking down. I'm not talking down at all. I've got a few of those stickers on my car.
Don't forget. Don't tread on me. Also.
Yeah, that's the Gadsden flag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to hijack this for just a second here.
Go ahead.
Because I was just having this conversation with Daryl and Big Rev, with you being such an LA fan and Aaron just being a major sports fan. Let's go round table on this real fast. Aaron, what's your opinion of the A's moving to Sacramento for 3 years?
Oh, I think it's great.
Okay.
For Sacramento.
Yeah. What do you think it does for the team?
Well, they'll have fans following. Fans, I mean.
Because you're an A's fan, too, right?
Well, no, I'm a Dodger fan.
I know, but you like the A's.
Yeah,
you
I'm a baseball fan.
Yeah, you prefer the A's over the Giants.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Rev, what's your opinion? I know this probably doesn't mean a lot to you out there, but being a baseball fan and everything, what do you think about the Oakland A's, who are in a horrific stadium? Forget the history of the stadium. I get it, but that place is a dump. And the surrounding area around the Oakland Coliseum, I'm just going to say it, that's a dump too. It's riddled with crime, garbage, and homelessness. And I mean, the In-N-Out that made news for closing, the only In-N-Out that ever closed, is almost across the street from the stadium, if that gives you any idea. So with all that information, what do you think about a major league team moving to a nice new minor league stadium of about 13,000, I think is what I had heard reported?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
What's your opinion on that?
Now, are the tickets going to be cheaper, or are they going to be about the same amount?
No, I think the tickets, like any of the seats, are going to be like around $80. I would assume, because you're close. It's like everybody's sitting on the bottom floor of a stadium.
Rivercat Stadium is a great stadium.
Yeah,
because what I would think now, is they would fill it up a lot quicker, of course, because it's smaller. They would attract. Oh, they're in a new stadium. Oh, and it's smaller. We could fill that place up.
That, but at the same time, the article that I read quoted the average number of fans that show up in Oakland is about 3,000. And I think we're going to beat out that number in Sacramento handily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they averaged around 8,000 to 9,000 last season.
Okay. And the number again, I heard was three, but it could be eight.
No. I would say that's the number now.
Okay.
You know, because they're not showing up.
But still,
yeah.
If you sell out in Sacramento, that's 13. You're still up by 4,000 fans. And 4,000 fans means more money.
Yeah.
More money for everyone.
They've already, I guess Oakland is already copyrighted.
Sacramento A's.
Yeah,
they got the trademark on it already.
Yeah,
and so, I mean, that's a done deal. They're coming.
They may have to stay, though.
Well, and that's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
I said I knew it was a long shot, but, you know, my quote-unquote dream, it's not my dream, but for lack of a better word,
yeah,
would be that the A's come to Sacramento, they see the response, because you can see how rabid sports fans are in Sacramento. Just watch a Kings game, even when they're losing, they're rabid fans, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and if you, except for the time that I moved away for about 20 years, but I spent pretty much all my life in Sacramento. If you wanted to go see a baseball game, you had to drive to the Bay Area. It's a minimum 2 hours drive to go see the Giants or the A's. And there's a lot of expense involved with that too, because you got food and maybe you got a hotel stay or, you know, whatever, gas. there's a lot of expense involved. I think that people and the Rivercats haven't had any problems selling tickets. So, so I think people are going to go out of their minds to not have to drive to the Bay to see the A's. Now, I'm a Giants fan, but if the A's stayed in Sacramento, I'll be a Sacramento A's fan.
Here's how in big it's become. The Rivercats have sold more season tickets since the announcement, because if you're a season ticket holder of the Rivercats,
you get a World Series.
You get you're first in line to get the Oakland A's or the Sacramento A's or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Tickets. And so
does it give you World Series picks if they go?
I don't know.
No.
And so that would be something that team's not going to be.
No, I get it. That's still a nice perk regardless.
And Big Rev, you've got to know this too. The like Dave was saying, the fan, you know, crazy. You're right by University of Arkansas, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know, if you're not Alabama or some other team, you're not winning SEC title, but those fans, the Arkansas Razorback fans, are crazy.
They're the most, yeah, you know, and you know, I'm an Arkansas fan myself, but golly, man, they make me so angry. They make me angry sometimes because it's just it's insane how they act. But I will say that's one of the most passionate fan bases I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I mean, we could be so horrible, and they're still out there calling the hogs, and it's taking 2 hours to get to the stadium. I mean, it's crazy.
And that's how Sacramento is. I'll give you a picture of how Sacramento the Kings fans are. Yeah. Even when they're only winning like 28 wins a season, the games will sell out.
Yeah.
The fans are passionate.
I mean, and try getting I haven't tried to get basketball tickets for a while, but, you know, a while back, try getting tickets to a game with Steph Curry or LeBron James at the Sacramento Kings.
It's not
happening.
Nope.
Not unless you're paying a lot of money.
Even the USC.
Yeah,
the USC's basketball team, when Bronny was LeBron's son, was playing for him. He's transferring out now. But the beginning of the year, their tickets went up tremendously just because of Bronny James and a sighting of LeBron showing up at the games. They just went
at the game.
Right. Yeah, it was crazy.
Right. So, you know, my dream for the A's moving to Sacramento is that after 3 years or, you know, whatever, they go, we'd be stupid to go somewhere else. Or if they do decide to go to Vegas and that deal goes through, that, you know, when the expansion time comes around, we're top of the list.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Because I think this team, I think the city needs a baseball team.
It's a baseball town, that's for sure. It is here in Sacramento. A lot of baseball fans.
Yeah. So, I just heard or read about one of the players. I don't even know their names. One of the big A's players, though, was just trash talking this whole move. He's like, I'd rather stay here in this facility. And it has everything we need. And, you know, we need to fix this stuff and just stay here. And I was like, then stay there.
Yeah.
Then stay there. Yeah. We all know the facilities suck.
Yeah. They're not,
they're not horrible. Right. They're not so good. Old. And the surrounding area sucks. And you don't have any fans that come to see you. So, yeah, I want to complain to 3,000, 5,000, 7,000 people. Just stay there and play ball and complain about all your misery.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But, or you can come to Sacramento where you're going to have fans. People are going to love having you here and they're going to do what they can to keep you here. So, which one do you want?
It's my feeling on it. Signing fans.
So. I think it's first world problems as far as this player goes.
Yeah.
I think he needs to shut up, take his paycheck and just play ball.
Yeah.
Anyways, figuratively and literally. All right, Big Rev, you got some new music coming out, right? Or out?
Oh yeah,
I should say.
Well, I released "Make a Stand." And again, that was a song that was released back in 2017, but it didn't get the push that it needed. So once I signed the record deal with Resurrection Records, Aaron was like, let's re-release Make a Stand. And now it's on three or four radio stations. It is just blown up. My YouTube subscribers have went up tremendously. My Facebook followers have went up tremendously. It's making its rounds. And
that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling when you see those numbers start to climb.
Yeah.
And you're actually like, yeah, somebody listened to it. Somebody saw
it. Exactly. Yeah. And then I'm following that up with another song, which is coming out on the 19th of this month called Don't Stop With It. It's more of a dance song. The same kind of deal. I'm going to re-release it under Resurrection Records. And I'm praying that it's going to get the same push and that Make a Stand did. And then in June, we're releasing Fruits of the Flesh, 3 days under, featuring Big Revs. So that's coming out in June.
Yeah, I think we know them.
Yeah.
I think we know them. And so, yeah. And so,
Patrick,
that sounds great.
So Patrick showed up for the recording sessions then.
Well, no, he actually sent me. he sent me the music. He sent me the music.
How did I know, Aaron? How did I know?
Yeah, he sent me the music, and the same day he sent it to me, I dropped my verse and sent it back to him, and he was just like, "This is amazing, man!" And then they're in the middle of shooting the video, which I'm supposed to be in the music video, but I'm having issues. I got the wrong green screen, so we couldn't use that. And now I'm waiting on a guy to get back with me so he can actually film me and doing my parts of the music video. So I called Patrick the other day and was explaining it to him. He's like, don't stress out. I'm over here like freaking out. Like, I got to get this done. I'm not a patient person. I want to get it done and get it out there, you know? So I'm in the process of now working on my part for the music video to be released. So, but yeah, man, I'm excited for everyone to hear Don't Stop With It. And then sometime in July, depending on what Aaron Michaels tells me when he wants to release it, I'm going to release another rock rap track called On Fire. Kind of the same thing, man.
Nice.
It was released in 17, but of course it didn't go anywhere. So now that I'm under the label and I've got some help and a push, I'm going to release that also. So. Digging into the vault.
And then you also, while we were, yeah, but you also got your son, your little hype man on the stage too.
Oh yeah.
And he's doing something on a future release.
Oh yeah. The first album that I will release under Resurrection Records will be all completely new songs. But my son will be featuring on one of the songs. And then I'm trying, my wife actually is writing some music. She's going to be on the album as well.
Affair, Aaron.
Yes.
Basically, yes, on a couple songs. And then of course I'm trying to get Patrick on one of my songs. I've got, you know, DeMac, me and him are doing a song together. So all this new stuff is going to be under the label. It's going to be amazing. I just don't know when officially the release date's going to be, but I'm just, you know, working on a lot of stuff. And then this summer we're going to be busy traveling everywhere. So
when you release this album, this is just out of curiosity, are you going to be releasing anything physical, like a vinyl or a CD or anything like that? Or is it all going to be streaming?
Well, I will be releasing physical copies of the CDs. I haven't dipped my hand into the vinyl stuff yet. But I mean, who says I won't do that? You know what I mean? So I'm planning on releasing physical copies. This newer album that just come out, Victory and Prayer, I don't have any physical copies of that. That's just online only. But I do have like QR code cards at the shows that they can get from the merchandise table and scan it and go straight to the album. So
now, was that vault stuff that from that album, or is that stuff that you had recently done?
Now, Victory and Prayer is all vault stuff that a lot of songs, a lot of people haven't heard. So pretty much it's new to a lot of people. Of course, not to me, but a lot of people. And it's growing into a lot of people are loving the songs. So
this is an exception to my rule, Aaron, that not everything in the vault is bad.
That's true.
My rule is if it's in If my rule is, you know, you hear like, oh, Prince had a vault full of music and, you know, they're going to start releasing it. And then you find out why it was in the vault because it really wasn't that good in the first place.
Yeah. And he probably wouldn't have released it if he would have been, because he was alive. He probably wouldn't even release it, you know.
Right. So. Yeah.
But it took me a long time, man. I went through with so many songs and, you know, and I was asking everybody, like, does this sound relevant? Does this sound this, you know? And I put like, 11, I think 13, 12 something tracks on that. And yeah, I've got a Never Alone remix. I've got a poem on there for my wife. Got a couple of Revan Fox tracks on there that when I was with that group, when we were called Revan Fox, I got a couple unreleased Revan Fox tracks on it and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's doing pretty well, man. It's I'm looking at all my views on YouTube and they're going up. So, I mean, it's doing okay. So
that's awesome. So we're going to, on the podcast, going to play Take a Stand and another track. Tell us a little bit about Take a Stand.
Make a stand. Okay.
I'm sorry. Make a stand.
You're good, brother. You're good. It's basically coming from, you know, God wants us to make a stand in his word, make a stand in our calling and make a stand, especially way this world is now. It's insane. And as a Christian, I'm going to make a stand in my faith and I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to move. I'm going to make a bold statement in my stand for Christ and try to help as many as people as I can out there and have them stand as well. So we can be united in Christ. And especially, like I said, the way this world is. So that's pretty much, I mean, it's just simple. It's just making a stand in Christ and letting everybody know that we are Christians and we're going to do whatever we can to win over more souls. So
that's awesome. So, hey, here it is. Make a stand on the Rock Salt Musecast Experience.
Yeah, so you.
Going insane, people turning on each other, causing worldwide pain. This nation's drowning in tears, this choking and losing breath. Suffocation is taking over this little air. If we meet, lean on the Son of Man to pull us out the pit. Gotta wipe the dirt.
Rock Salt Musecast Experience with Aaron, Dave, Patrick, and Jermaine on a mission from God.
I wanna walk the path of righteousness, throw my white flag. I surrender in this name, I wanna tell the world why. Time to lace up, tighten game up. Time to lace up, tighten game up. I wanna walk the path of righteousness, throw my white flag. I surrender in this name, I wanna tell the world why. Cause I'm full of his power, I'm full of his glory. Heavy network bouts, my pen shots the paper. Call me energetic since I met my savior. It's been a long road, hesitating some licks, but I bounce right back. Hierarchy crank kicks, I stay washed in blood. You can say I am red skin on my Robert Griffin III. My God is 10 out of 10. My lyrics burning like Miami, jumping water with dolphins. Throw my flag up high, it's Christ I'm trusting. My walk has purpose, I get it from a fighter. Why this industry staying short? My faith going tall, I'm born to grind like Abraham. I hustle like Powell, I'm big like a grizzly from Memphis, Marcus Howell. It's clutch time, the pressure is on. Time to lace up, baby, get into the zone. I'm multiplying my lyrics like Jesus did the bread. So take it and hustle, yeah, to keep the streets fed. I wanna walk the path of righteousness, throw my white flag. I surrender in this name, I wanna tell the world why. Time to lace up, tighten game up. Time to lace up, tighten game up. I wanna walk the path of righteousness, throw my white flag. I surrender in this name, I wanna tell the world why. Cause I'm full of his power, I'm full of his glory. Full of his power, I'm full of his glory. I walk the path of righteousness, I never look back. My future is in my focus, and now watch out for the crack. I've been to fine thousands of times, Christ has saved me multiple times. He gave me trillions of rhymes to help being alive. Big grand baby, give me something your heart can feel. Number the suit, you're spitting the real stealth mode, Jessica Biel. So high spirit I feel, never stop feeling so ill. Need Jesus, no Dr. Phil, DSP, I know the deal. Going to war, I need my shield, one of my spots, Gorilla DeVille. Praising God from a Coupe de Ville, in the booth with Ted and Bill. Message delivered, sign is sealed, going around like a wheel. Your impatience just chill, to my God I straight deal. We bout to get us something, keep the state straight bumpin'. Call me Al G. Bumpler. Sorry, Mr. Crumpler, Mr. Folk Town Hustler. Christ out, so the streets wrinkled, we fumble. I wanna walk the path of righteousness, throw my white flag. I surrender in this name, I wanna tell the world why. Time to lace up, tighten game up. Time to lace up, tighten game up. I wanna walk the path of righteousness, throw my white flag. I surrender in this name, I wanna tell the world why. Cause I'm full of his glory, full of his power, I'm full of his glory.
All right, back, rock solid, Aaron, Dave, Big Rev.
Big Rev.
WrestleMania 40. Man, oh, yeah. Can you believe it's been 40 years? How old are you, Big Rev?
The 18th of this month, in a couple days, I guess, I'm going to be 42.
Oh, well, happy birthday. So yeah, he was 2 years old. I remember watching the first WrestleMania. And
is that the one with Hulk Hogan?
Yeah.
Picked up onto the giant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I by the way, I the still first, think here we are 40 years first, later.
Oh. The first WrestleMania was the tag match. It was Hogan and T.
Oh, that's right. The second one was the second one was it three?
I believe so. Yeah.
All right. Okay. But that match, by the way, the Hogan Andre match, I still hate that match to this day because I said it then and I say it every time I see it, which is there is no way you pick up Andre the Giant unless Andre wants you to pick him up.
Yep.
There's no way.
Well, Andre did because he was getting paid to get picked up.
Andre knew that he was reaching the end of his career. It was time to pass it off. He knew all those things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That match was, I can't remember.
So, yeah, it was.
I couldn't remember if I was reading Hulk Hogan's book or I was watching the Andre biography, but I know that Hulk was pretty much having to carry Andre through that match because he was so beat up and everything. And yeah, man, he was actually helping Andre through that whole entire match. So,
yeah, but you know, WrestleMania has come a long way in 40 years. We went and saw the WrestleMania that was in San Francisco. I don't remember which one that was. What is that, like 2014, something like that. I don't remember.
You still have the chair?
Yeah, still got the chair. Oh, you want to hear a funny story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Big Rev?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Big Rev's going to be jealous now.
All right. So you're aware, and maybe I wasn't aware until we got one. Down in the front, I don't know, 3-4 rows, where you pay $3,000 a ticket, whatever, they give you a chair.
Yeah,
they give you a folding chair, and it's really cool, and it's WrestleMania or, you know, cash in a bank or whatever they call those things, money in the bank. Anyways, mine's a WrestleMania, clearly, because we were at WrestleMania, but our seats for WrestleMania were way up at the top of Levi Stadium. I mean, honestly, we watched WrestleMania on the screens at the stadium because you couldn't see, you know, these ants in the ring, you know. But it's still cool. It's going to a Super Bowl or something, because just the excitement and everybody's there is pumped and there's so many things going on, and you know, it's just awesome. So, but my friend, he's one of those people that, he has no shame. He doesn't mind getting kicked out because, you know, his thrill was always, whether we went to concerts or wherever, was to get backstage. That was always his thing. I got to get backstage. And if he got thrown out trying to do it, he didn't. This particular time, he right after we got into the stadium, we split up. And like an hour later, he texts me. He goes, "Hey, come over to the side of the concourse, the lower concourse." And he goes, "Can you see me across the stadium?" And I was like, "Not really." He goes, "Well, I'm at the lower deck." And I went, "Wow, good for you." He goes, "Next stop, front row." And I went, "Okay, we'll see." So he sends me a picture. He sends me a picture of him holding one of the belts in front of the ring.
Oh, wow.
And I go, "How did you do that?" Yeah, how did you do that? So he tells me later what happened, which was he walked into the lower deck with his ticket in hand and walked right past security with the attitude of, "Don't bother me. I know what I'm doing. You don't have to help me," right? So he gets in, he gets into the lower deck that way. Then he gets down to the floor where security escorts you to the seat. So as somebody was getting escorted, he walked in looking at his ticket. Once again, like, "Don't bother me. I paid $3,000 for my seat. I don't want to talk to you," type of thing. So they didn't talk to him. And he walked up to the front row and picked the only two seats that were open. The only two seats that were open. And he goes, "I knew I was going to get kicked out. I knew it, because these were the only two seats." Nobody sat there the entire night except him.
Wow. That's awesome. So,
yeah. So there were these tags. I don't have the tag anymore, but there were these tags on the seat which said, you know, "This is your seat. You get to take the chair when you leave, but you have to wait, show your ticket, and, you know, someone will cut it and give it to you," because they had them all bound together. And so he was trying to figure out how he's going to get this thing out of the, you know, with it, because he doesn't have a ticket, right? So the entire night, he's just working that zip tie or whatever it was. And so when the show was over, he turns to the guy next to him and he goes, "Yeah, we got to sit around and wait for these people to come give us our chairs." And my friend says, "Well, I ain't got time for that." Jumps up, pops both of the chairs open, that because someone was sitting in them, and walks out. And nobody questioned this dude at all.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? So, yeah, we saw that WrestleMania, and it was great. Bray Wyatt, Brock Lesnar and it was Bray Wyatt and Undertaker, Brock Lesnar and
Roman,
not Kurt Angle. Thank you. Roman Reigns.
It was Roman. Yeah.
Roman Reigns was who I was trying to think of, and Brock Lesnar. I know Sting was there that night. I don't remember a whole lot of them. I know Sting was there that night. Cody Rhodes was there. Was it Cody Rhodes? I don't know. My son was telling me we saw him before. Stardust.
It was Goldust, his brother, of course, and then Stardust. And they were in a tag match. I believe they were the tag champs, or they were going for the tag titles. And then the main event is, that's the one where Seth runs in and cashes the Money in the Bank and wins the title. So yeah,
that was great.
That was a pretty good wrestling.
That was a great match. And I got to tell you, in hindsight, I was even saying this the other day when I saw something about Bray Wyatt. I said to my son, I was like, you got to admit, it was pretty cool that we got to see him fight The Undertaker before he died. And
what
a great match. What a great match that was.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So
Bray was unbelievably, I mean, he was an unbelievable talent, man. It was sad when I heard
that. Yeah. He was cut down too soon.
Yeah.
Now, getting to WrestleMania 40, I said to Shane's my son, by the way. I said, you know, I've watched wrestling since the 80s, since Superstars era. I don't watch it consistently now. I usually just watch the big events now. But I've seen it come up from Superstars, where they didn't have a ton of money, to now it's like they've got more money than God. And well, he can't deny it, right?
Well, the entrances are huge.
The entrances are huge. I mean, it's a week-long event now. It's two nights of wrestling. I mean, it's really grown. And just I even pointed out the digital boards on the side of the rings. You know, I don't know how long they've been doing that, but even that, I was like, normally I'd be upset at advertising. I am actually happy that they continue to make money and continue to grow and be this big thing, because I never thought it would be.
It's almost like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's huge. Super Bowl. I mean, for something that is.
Once they started bringing The Rock, when they brought Brock back in and they started doing the storyline with Cody and The Rock, I mean, they were selling out every single arena they went into up until like last night on SmackDown. Every single arena was completely sold out. And this new era that Triple H is bringing in, it's paying off so far. The thing is I'm hoping that now that Cody finished his story, he'll be able to continue to make more good stories and not kind of like, okay, his story's finished now. You know, I hope they keep it going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, do you think it's a good thing that Rhodes is now the champion?
Yes. I mean, I've been watching Cody ever since he first showed up in the WWE, but a lot of people, I mean, I don't know if y'all watched his documentary that was on Peacock or not. If y'all haven't, I urge you to go watch it. He went from WWE to wrestling in high school gyms. And like, it was insane how low he went, but he continued to wrestle. He didn't have the full, he had a support from his dad, but his dad wasn't there. He was working in NXT and he was working with Seth and Roman and all them guys. Well, Cody was out here busting his butt by himself pretty much. And then finally, somehow he helped create AEW, which that's a whole other situation over there. But he helped AEW, and then now all of a sudden he got this last shot at WWE. And before, when he left, he was doing Stardust, and he was very unhappy with that character. Like, he couldn't stand doing Stardust. And he would literally cry before he'd go out to the ring because he couldn't stand it that much. And finally, he created the American Nightmare, dyed his hair blonde. And when he come back to WWE, I mean, he came back as a full-time, like, main event superstar all of a sudden. He grew and changed so much. And I do believe that he deserves it. And
I think he does too.
Yeah.
The fans love him. They know that. They know that his song, man. When he comes in with that song, they all sing it and everything. It's it was amazing.
I love Cody for maybe a different reason than everybody else. He is a great wrestler and all that, but I love Cody because of Dusty. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
You know, and I like Charlotte Flair. Yeah, like when Charlotte Flair wrestled in that last big one that it wasn't. I don't think it was WrestleMania. It was Money in the Bank was the last one. I don't know. Anyways, Charlotte Flair wrestled, and I loved watching her wrestle because Ric Flair. You know, it was just I don't know. I like seeing the generational wrestlers like that.
Yeah.
Plus, he's good. He's good. I got to throw this out here real quick. I was just watching WrestleMania before we started the show on Saturday night. I'm sorry. I don't know these guys' names, but you'll probably know the storyline. There was a wrestler that before he went out to the ring, he was having a conversation with his wife and son, and he was telling her, hey, I don't want him to see the match. Keep him back here. Okay, who was that?
Sami Zayn.
Oh, my gosh.
Who?
Yeah.
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn.
Gunther? Is that how
Gunther.
Gunther. Okay, right? He beat Gunther.
Yeah. Now, by the way, I've seen a few matches with Gunther. He's good.
Dude, he's the truth, man.
That guy hits so hard. I forget what it's called in the biz, but, man, he hits hard. Some of those he's landing, dude. Those aren't fake. What I had to say about the storyline and all the stuff that was backstage, this is what I said to Shane as I was watching it, was the acting in ECW before WWE bought it was better than that acting right there. That was poor. Sorry. I had to throw that out there.
Get him smacked ECW in essence, please. ECW was pretty rough, though, man.
Yeah, it was. Dude, back in the day, my friend who was a total wrestling freak, he was like, dude, you gotta come over like on Saturday night after, you know, WWE was on, whatever it was. He goes, ECW's on. And I went, what's ECW? He goes, it's crazy. They're jumping off the balconies and stuff. And I went, really? He goes, yeah, but it's really hard because it's not on cable. Where we were in Reno, it wasn't on cable. He goes, I got to get it on the rabbit ears. So I go over, and he breaks out his, like, 19-inch, you know, black and white TV, and we're moving the rabbit ears. But that was the first time I saw ECW, and these people just going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And I went, that's what I want to see.
So what was your favorite match of the weekend?
Oh, man, I honestly have some, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Gunther. Like, dude is like, to me, he's one of, like, as you're looking at it as a wrestling standpoint, not like a script or anything like that, as a wrestling standpoint, dude is one of the best. Okay, and then you put him up with the underdog, Sami Zayn. I thought they put on a phenomenal match.
I saw that whole match. It was incredible.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The ladder match, which you were talking about, you didn't understand the ladder match was their way of splitting the titles up.
Explain the rules of that, because I don't get it. I mean, I understand a ladder match where they put the one belt up there, but they had four belts up there.
What it was is
I don't understand it.
You have the Monday Night Raw Tag Team Champions, and you have SmackDown. Well, when the Usos basically had all four titles, and then when Kevin and Sammy beat them last year, then Sammy and Kevin ended up losing the titles. So the tag champs had both sets of titles. So they hung both sets up in their way of saying, okay, we're splitting the titles now because they're fixing to do the draft again. So they went. That's how that was their way of splitting the belts. So two guys from SmackDown got the blue ones.
But it was okay. So this was what kind of confused me in this was like, who were the wrestlers on that? Who were the teams? Because I want to use their names. Do you remember who they were?
Grayson Waller and Austin Theory are the ones that won the blue belts. And then you had
okay,
The Miz and R-Truth, which won the Raw belts. They won the red belts.
Okay, so I'm just gonna use two names here. So Grayson, and no need to correct me on this because I'm probably got it wrong. But Grayson goes up and he grabs the red belt. So does that mean that his tag team, both of them, got those red belts, or he grabs the red belt, but his partner would have went and grabbed the blue belt? Does that mean that they've got new partners, or does that mean that they've got all four titles, which we already know wouldn't happen? That's where I got confused.
No, if Grayson would have went to grab the red, him and Austin Theory would have been the champions. It just took one.
Okay.
Now, I understand what you mean. Oh. If one of them went to grab the blue and the other one went to grab the red, in the script, that wasn't going to happen. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
What if that would have happened?
I think it might have been more interesting if that split up the teams.
See, at first, I thought that's what they were going to do.
I think that could be I think that could make for an interesting storyline.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that's not shelved, you know.
Yeah.
That might come up in the future, but those ladder matches, I cringe every time I see a ladder match because I just know how dangerous it can be.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff that can go wrong. And there was one where you could see Gunther was taking it a little easy with the ladder on what's his name again? Sorry, Sam.
Sammy.
Is that his name? Sam?
Sammy Zayn.
It looked like he was being a little protective. He knew what he was doing. But there was one where he slammed him onto that ladder. And I went, ooh, I'm sorry. That hurt.
Oh, yeah. That stuff
had to have hurt.
You just look at the body wounds after their matches, man. Their bodies are just, just ravaged everywhere, man. And to go back to Aaron's question too, is I really enjoyed the main event of night two. Night one, I expected The Rock and Roman to win because they got to stack the deck against Cody. I seen that coming.
Yeah.
But The Rock and Cody night two main event was it was one of the greatest endings in my – I started watching wrestling in 87. So one of the greatest endings of a WrestleMania I've ever seen. And the reason why is it's because it had so much nostalgia to it. Of course, Jay had to come out. The Usos, they did their thing. But when John came out and then The Rock come out, they stood face-to-face. I mean, that goes back with their feud. Back of the two WrestleManias that they fought. And then you got Taker. I know you said you had your opinion on Taker coming out, which I thought it was going to be Stone Cold.
Yeah, let me.
But, you know.
I think Stone Cold would have been better. I love Taker, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But he came out, and was it Roman Reigns that tombstoned him? Was that who tombstoned him?
Taker, Undertaker chokeslammed The Rock.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. And then his part was over. And I was like, well, what was that for? Just to say we saw the Undertaker? Yeah.
Pretty much.
It was dumb.
Just involving Taker with WrestleMania because he's so huge. And WrestleMania, they had to have Undertaker show up. Now,
no, I get it. But I think they could have had a better role for him.
Can he wrestle anymore, though? He's pretty beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was surprised how well The Rock was moving. You know, and all that. And so, I don't think John Cena is like in wrestling shape anymore. I mean, he's been acting more, but they had a role for him. But it was amazing how people know the entrance songs, you know, when they would come out.
Yeah.
Because as soon as they started playing some of John Cena's stuff, the crowd went crazy. And then they played The Rock, and the crowd went crazy. And then when that bell went off for The Undertaker,
when you said that, the
crowd went crazy.
When you said, well, I go back to what he was talking about, Undertaker, I think a lot of it, too, also was the eras, the generation
of
rest. They wanted to show that generation.
Right.
Now, Now, Undertaker coming out, of course, is anonymous with WrestleMania. So that's why they did that. Now, as a story standpoint, because he didn't really have anything to do with the Bloodline, you know, like John Cena did, and Jey Uso mm-hmm. had it, and Seth Rollins, you know. And so that was my take on it. But speaking of Seth Rollins, to me, he was the MVP of WrestleMania. Hands down, the beating he took at night one.
He was great. Night one,
the beating he took from Drew McIntyre, and then to come out at the end and sacrifice himself with the chair and to get Roman's distracted mm-hmm. off of Cody. I mean, he took that chair shot because, of course, years ago he did that to Roman. So, to me, Seth Rollins, man, and he was really beat up too. And he had some injury issues going on and stuff. But to me, Seth was the MVP of WrestleMania weekend. So,
you know, just because it keeps coming up, I'm gonna sidetrack for a minute here. I guess it's on Freevee, I think, is there's a I don't even know the name of it, but there's a reality show where the wrestlers go out and try to find their memorabilia. Have you seen this, Big Rob?
Oh yeah. Hidden treasures or something like that.
Something like that. But it's a great premise for a show. There's nothing real about it whatsoever. But it's a great premise for the show. And the best part is the first show was Mick Foley traveling around finding some of his old, original gear. And the second show was Undertaker doing that. And you know, they go to Tennessee where Kane's now the mayor of some town in Tennessee's Knoxville. I don't know. There's all kinds of talk, but between Kane and Undertaker. But the thing that I said was the saddest about watching that show was watching Mick and the Undertaker walking because they're so beat up that they can't move. And even Taker mentioned in there that he hates it when somebody mentions that he's kind of stiff and he's having a hard time walking or something. He hates that. But that's how predominant it is. It's just so noticeable. And, that's where when people go, it's just fake and all that. Yeah. We get it. All right.
It's scripted.
You know, I don't go to David Copperfield and think he's really making the Statue of Liberty disappear. Okay. I get it. the athleticism, the stunts, the bouncing all over the place, the getting hit in the head with the ladder, those parts are real.
Well, I mean, when you go through a desk, it's not fake.
Yeah.
You're going through a desk.
Well, I mean, those desks, those desks are made to break away.
Yeah, I understand that. But still,
But when Undertaker threw Mick off the top of the Hell in the Cell, Undertaker didn't want to do that. Mick wanted to do that. And he throws him off this 30-foot cage into a table. I don't care if the table was meant to break or not.
Yes.
That was gonna hurt.
That was insane. Mick Foley, man.
It's one of the best matches. One of the best matches ever mm-hmm. in wrestling.
So now we're at Cody. How long does he keep the title, you think?
I think he'll have
until he loses.
No, there was rumors going around saying that he's going to keep it until next year because of this whole Rock thing, because Rock come out the Monday after WrestleMania and was like, I'm going to go for a while, but when I come back, I'm coming after you. What I can see happening is when Roman does return, I think Roman will return as a good guy. And by then I think the Rock has taken over the whole Bloodline story, and they turned on one of the Usos last night on SmackDown. Solo, the one with the blonde hair with the thing on his thumb. That's the Usos' baby brother. He actually turned on his brother Jimmy, one of the twins, last night, and had a new guy show up. So, of course, Paul Heyman's over there freaking out, crying, and all that other stuff that he does. And so what they're setting up is that Solo is going to create this new bloodline. And I think The Rock is pulling the strings. And then when Roman returns, Roman's going to be kind of like a face, like, why did y'all turn on me, blah, 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 blah. So I think that's going to set up a whole new storyline. And then The Rock and Cody are going to end up fighting either at SummerSlam or, my guess, probably WrestleMania next year.
Do you think The Rock has it in him to fight Cody, though? I mean, and make it look good?
I do, because that's another year from now, but he really impressed me at WrestleMania. Now, I know he only wrestled one match, and it was a tag match. So, of course, Roman carried a lot of the match, but he actually did really well, because that's one thing I was nervous about. Like, he hasn't wrestled in like a decade almost.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's out of shape or anything like that, but I don't think he's the wrestler he was. Just me personally, I'm gonna upset a lot of people here. Just me personally, I never thought The Rock was a great wrestler. He's a great showman, not a great wrestler.
A character.
Yeah. The Undertaker was a great wrestler. Mick Foley was a great wrestler, and I don't put The Rock there.
Where do you put Hulk Hogan? Because I didn't think he was
in the same boat with The Rock.
Yeah,
a lot of show.
Yeah,
and a lot of a charisma and good for WWE.
And he made money. But, he made money
as
that's all.
Yeah, as a wrestler. Yeah, as a wrestler, I don't think he's a great wrestler.
Because John Cena. I mean, as big as he was, I didn't think John was very that great of a wrestler.
I don't like. I don't like John Cena at all. Yeah. I really do not like that guy. I don't like that character. I don't like anything about John Cena, and there's no good reason other than I just don't. He rubs me the wrong way. I just don't like him.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
wife's not a huge fan of Cena either. So you're not alone.
Yeah, I say I can see you. You're not pulling anything over on me, brother.
What is? And I was, you know, watching all the entrance songs or whatever. Yeah. What is your favorite? Hulk never had
time,
one, but
of all time or just now?
Yeah. No, of all time.
Oh, man, I really, really enjoyed the NWO Wolfpack entrance song.
Okay.
And black. And then I digged Undertaker's, of course, his is just
His is iconic.
Just,
yeah,
exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Iconic. Yes, it's just iconic.
Well, when you're in the stadium and Undertaker's about to come on, especially if you don't know he's coming on, and that first bong and the lights just black out.
Yeah,
I mean that's what happens when he comes out, and you're like, oh man. Undertaker's here coming.
Yeah,
and we had a UFC fighter.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. We had a UFC fighter here was my favorite fighter. He kind of runs an organization now but doesn't do MMA anymore, but he came out to California Kid. And when they played that beginning of that song, wherever he was, especially one of his last matches here in Sacramento, the crowd went nuts, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, and then you're a baseball fan. You remember the Padres had Trevor Hoffman and they used to play that Hell's Bells when he would come out to close the game.
Uh-huh.
And you knew as a player, they played that music and the crowd went crazy.
Let's not forget the most iconic sports. I don't want to say it's an entrance song, but sports song.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl Shuffle.
Chicago.
Oh my gosh.
I got one more too for you. It might not have been as iconic as the Super Bowl Shuffle, but you gotta ram it. Remember that one?
I don't know that. I don't remember that.
Look it up on YouTube. Look it up on YouTube.
Yes. Okay. Now I remember Eric Dickerson. Yes.
Yeah. Because after the Super Bowl Shuffle, everybody was talking about doing that kind of stuff.
Even and Eric was dancing and stuff like that.
Even Vince McMahon and WWE did one, which I thought was It was horrible, but they did it.
Yeah.
Hogan was up there playing the guitar. And
yeah. Hey, look, yeah. Even that Superstars album, even when it was out, I was like, no, thanks. No, thanks. I'm good. I don't need to, you know, I'm an American hero or whatever his song is.
He'd get beat up for 20 minutes and then he would shake his finger and he had that, you know,
that's face. Why that's another part of the Hogan, Andre match that I absolutely hated. It was the first time that I really noticed this, and I can't watch a Hogan match without it, is the Hogan comeback. The oh, you can Hulk, beat me Hulk to now. Death. And it's like, yeah, come on. And you know what? I'm just like, no.
It was all me and my dad would just laugh tremendously, and then 30 seconds later they were playing the song and he did the ear thing, you know, to the crowd. Yeah. And that was great. Hey,
but that's the Hulk. And you can't knock the Hulk for what he's done for WWE.
You put wrestling That's what I was getting ready to say.
I mean, if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon, WrestleMania wouldn't be where it is today.
Yeah,
because they're the ones.
That absolutely.
Hulk Hogan, he was a character, but at the same time, he was the one that ushered in the whole sports entertainment, knowing that
go
to a wrestling show and see a real live action superhero, you know. So
right, yeah. That's pretty much what it is. So. Let me run over a couple of my notes because we're starting to go long on this thing. I only made notes on the first match of Saturday night because I fell asleep after that. But I had such a fan. I know. I had the intention of just filling up my notebook with notes on every match, and it didn't happen. We'll start right at the beginning where my notes start with the national anthem, Coco Jones. What'd you guys think?
I didn't see it.
It was decent. I'll be honest. It was decent.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there wasn't a lot to say about it. It was decent, and I don't know who Coco Jones is, but
I honestly didn't know either.
you know, I'm sure she's got some kind of career going on. So the first match was the man Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley. Why do they call her the man? By the way,
she started her feud with Charlotte because you know Flair used to call. He used to call himself the man, you know, Ric Flair, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was something that started between her and Flair. One night she come out there and said, when the man comes around or something like that. And it just kind of was one of the things that just stuck. So she just started using the man, Becky Lynch, which, you know, I'm more of a Rhea Ripley fan because I think she's amazing in the ring.
I think they were both amazing in the ring.
They are. Becky, of course, is good. Becky's awesome. But I was pulling for Rhea. I couldn't help it. My wife calls her my girlfriend.
Now was the Rhea that came out to Motionless in White, the band?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a band called Motionless in White, Aaron. I don't know if you're aware of that, but the I didn't know who the band was. I just thought they looked really odd and I went, okay, well, whatever, I get it. Then they said no, it was her favorite band, Motionless in White. And all I could think to myself was, if this was 40 years ago and I saw that as the future of wrestling, I would have been like,
you would have thought,
what are you doing? What are you doing? But it works. I thought it was kind of bad. I didn't like the entrance. But it's partly because I didn't like the band. It seemed forced. That's what it did. Yeah. It seemed forced.
You might have wrote this down too, but the one that I just could not, I thought was horrible was Lil Wayne.
That was going to be my next one that I got to because I was like, what is the point of having that dude here?
And he wasn't supposed to walk down that far on the ramp either. and he did it anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they
said. Oh, yeah, because it seemed like the camera was having a hard time following him around, and that would explain it.
It was bad.
Like, no, like, he wasn't hitting his marks.
Night two, where Roman Reigns comes in, I thought that was a horrible entrance with the kids playing and stuff like that.
I don't remember it. Yeah, so, night two. I'm looking to Big Rev.
You know, they had the kids' orchestra and all that.
It was, I thought that it would, what a lot of their entrances, in my opinion, I thought Cody's, of course, was really cool.
Yeah, after he did that great one, and then now here comes Roman Reigns to a bunch of kids playing violins and stuff. And I'm like,
I think my expectations.
Okay, I don't remember that's seeing a downer.
I think my expectations for Roman's entrance was I was looking at something totally different. Like, because you know, he's the head of the table, the tribal chief, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was going to be like something massive. Like, you know, not to get off story, but that's one thing that I loved about Triple H. When Triple H would come out, I mean, his entrances were always 100% solid. I mean, you go back and watch Triple H's, all his entrances, I mean, they're amazing. So,
yeah. Yeah. Now, well, I want to get back to the Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley fight because I got my notes. Bad. I put my work into this. We're going to go through this. Anyways, Lynch. She was hitting hard, and at times the fight looked like a cat fight, like a hair pull slap cat fight. Now, if you watch them closely, I'm pulling back the curtain. If you watch them closely, you can see they're slapping each other on the shoulder, but it makes a good loud slap. What's up with Rhea's arm brace? Is that real?
I can't remember exactly which one it was. I know sometimes she wears one with her and Dominic's initials on it. But then I think you're talking about the one that had the studs on it, right? Is that the one?
I'm talking about the one she had on her hand. The one that people get for like.
Yeah. The
black.
Yeah. I don't know if they're real or not. I know she wears them all the time, but.
I didn't know if it was real or not, and they were saying that, you know, she's really going to town on that bad arm, you know, all that. But I was thinking, because I've worn those things, they got a big piece of metal in them, and to keep your hand straight. And I did notice through the match that they didn't really do much to her wrist. They kind of stayed away from it. And I was thinking if it was fake, she'd use that metal to hit her, right? Or something of the, they didn't do anything like that. So it just led me to believe that maybe it was real.
Yeah. When they don't attack a certain area, then that's kind of your clue, or that's kind of your answer. Yeah. It might be real because, you know, there's times where it looks like it's really real and then they start attacking it. So,
yeah.
You know.
I saw a video. And I'm going to tell you, I saw it probably around 1990 or so, but it was a video of a match that Bobby the Brain Heenan was fighting in. So it tells you how old that video was. it was a cage match, and Heenan was going to town on this dude's leg, and you can see, now Heenan didn't see it, but you could see it in the video. Dude's knee dislocates and pops back into place. And Heenan didn't know about it and went to town on this dude's knee because he thought it was part of the act. And having my knees dislocated several times, just the dislocation is so painful and messes with your head to have someone come over and beat on you on top of it. Oh, now they were saying that, I think it was Becky Lynch had strep throat that night. Oh, is that true?
I heard something about that too. I would probably say yeah, or they wouldn't have said anything, but I just don't remember. I didn't remember the announcers talking about it throughout the match or anything.
They did mention it a couple of times, and that's the reason I brought it up was because I've had strep throat, and the last thing I wanted to do was be running around in front of thousands of people bouncing off of ropes and getting slammed into the mat. I would just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
So some people, if that's like, true, and she did the job she did.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure there was some. I'm sure they juiced her up before she went out there. They gave her the Biden cocktail and sent her out there.
You seen what Jordan did with the Bulls when he had the flu? So I mean,
yeah,
you know, you never know.
So Becky, I mean, this was a great move enough that I made a note about it. And hey there, Jermaine, our other WWE guy there. He's got to take himself on mute in order to talk. But anyways.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Going on, brother.
Thanks for joining us. Right.
I did not know anything about WWE, so that's why I'm not in this conversation.
Oh, I thought you were. Anyways, here's my note. Becky, badass tornado DDT off the ropes. That had to be one of the best moves I've ever seen. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. It's an audio show, and everybody's silent.
Well, I was just shaking my head, like, yes, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
So perfectly executed. It was great and it looked fantastic. Becky also took a knee. I'm just reading my notes now because I want to move through this. Becky took a knee to the face. I don't remember that. I'd have to go back and watch it. She took a knee to the face, though. Ripley dropping Lynch 3 times in a row. Did you see that?
Yep.
You remember that? She was picking her up. Like her, who got dropped? Lynch. Okay, so Lynch had her legs wrapped around the other one. And Rhea. The other one is picking her up and just... Yeah, Rhea, and she's just picking her up and slamming her down. Boom, boom. And I mean, of course, hitting the mat, that makes all the noise you needed to make. But still, I was impressed. That was a good one. Becky took a good boot to the face, and I don't know that that was intentional.
No, I don't think it was didn't look either. I know what spot.
I don't think it was intentional. Yeah, she took a boot to the face. But so did Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
I was going to say Charlotte Flair in that, that match that she was in the last one, she took a pretty good boot to the face too. The Becky manhandle slam. That was impressive. And Rhea responds with a riptide. And it looked like Rhea dropped Becky on her head on the floor. Did you notice that?
Yep.
That if you go back and watch it looks like she drops. So they get out of the ring and once again, not intentional, but her head, the way she gets dropped, her head hits first on the ground.
Yeah. I saw a couple times during the matches I watched that I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Every time something like that happens,
are they okay?
Yeah. Every time something like that happens and we're watching it, you always hear my wife go, real.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's as you said, like Guther, man, sometimes he kicks and stuff. And I'm like, you know, if that was at full force, the guy would be, we'd be calling an ambulance now.
Well, yeah. But what I'm getting at with Guther is like, he does those
chops
and they're real.
You can hear the slap.
Those are real.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You look at their chest, you know, man. Look at their chest when they, like,
and so, but I tell you what, they, you know, I can't wait till WrestleMania 41. I only watch the big events, but
I just don't have time because there's so much now. Oh, yeah. I don't have the time to watch it all. So, I mean, I barely had enough time to watch this.
Raw, SmackDown, is that the only ones they do during the week?
I do wish Raw would go to 2 hours though, because the 3 hours, man, is what to me kind of kills the momentum a little bit. To me, I think SmackDown is more of an exciting show. But Raw, I mean, going to 3 hours, it's just, I think it should cut down to 2 is my, that's my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all for 1. Yeah.
I was kind of looking for like a YouTube video that would highlight the different things that happen in the matches and
didn't
find it.
That article that I was looking up that I have not referenced or anything, but I'll send it over to you. It's got okay. all the videos and stuff of the highlights. And
oh, it's cool.
Yeah. So,
well, we need to wrap this up.
Though. Yeah, I will in a second here. But the as you're a huge WWE fan, and me being a longtime WWE fan, even though I may not be a huge WWE fan, how do you think that Triple H and in real life, how well do you think Triple H and Stephanie are handling the new WWE?
I think they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, you see all the sellouts.
Yeah.
I think Triple H is doing what everyone was hoping that he would do.
Yeah. I think he's taking it to the next level. I think there's a couple of missteps in there, but there's going to be
always.
But I think it goes back to, maybe it's because I grew up watching it as a kid that I really don't want to see it go away. So I like new life. I like hearing, and I don't know the whole terms of the deal, but I like hearing that Dana White's buying it up, and you know, that's still going on, right? Dana White's
involved? They've bought it. Already bought it. And The Rock, of course, is a member of the board, which that's real. You can just tell the aggressiveness is a little bit more. They're a lot more aggressive.
Like a rival of the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah.
That's really what I would like, is a revival of the Attitude Era. Saying to my son Shane, you know, they're like Cody Rhodes, and these are great wrestlers and all. But I said, you know, I'm not connecting with anybody at the level of like The Undertaker, who had this great backstory, it was mysterious, you know, all of that stuff. And I'm just not feeling it with any of them that they have a long term. You know what I mean? Like Undertaker's going to be Undertaker forever. Yeah. You know what I mean? When that gong goes off, yeah, Bray Wyatt, he would have been a great up and comer to. That's what I'm talking about. He had that mystery. Oh, I had never seen Bray Wyatt before, and when I saw him at WrestleMania and he flipped over backwards and a lantern and all, I was like, oh, that guy's good. I didn't connect with anyone long term like that. There was nobody that really excited me in the way with their story, in the way that like Undertaker or Mankind or, you know, that did. Am I wrong?
No, there's a lot of them that, you know, and like I said, I've been watching since 87, and there's been a lot of wrestlers I've connected with. And like you said, pretty much in that Attitude Era, man. I mean, you got all the guys like, you know, Stone Cold, you know, even like you said, Undertaker, even Kane had a mysterious way about him, you know.
Kane, the Godfather, who else? Well, China was part of it back then. I'm trying to think of the big ones. Of course, he had The Rock and Undertaker and Mankind and Stone Cold. You had those names, of course, but I'm trying to think of the other ones, like Big Show. I'm a huge fan of the Big Show. I love him.
Yeah, he's actually a really cool dude too.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, speaking of cool dudes, you'll love this. Guess who I got to meet at a con about a month ago?
Tell
us. Take a while. He says superstar.
Was it Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
You got it.
Yeah.
What a nice guy. What a nice guy. Yeah. Hey, what a nice guy. I guess I'm wrapping it up there. But, yeah, I just don't want to see it. The other quick question or quick thing I point out is, how do the McMahon kids get better with age? Usually they start out young and, you know, cute, but those two kids were not cute when they were young.
No, they got better as they got older,
in my opinion.
Yeah
And it doesn't look like they've had a lot of work done.
No. Hey Jermaine, who did you ever follow wrestling?
I did when I was a kid, and Jermaine, then I got into
Jermaine,
UFC.
Did you ever follow us?
I did when I was a kid, and then I got like really into UFC.
Okay, so who was your favorite wrestler to finish this off?
My favorite used to be between Triple H and Undertaker.
Okay, all right. I'm still a Hulk Hogan fan to forever. Dave, who's your favorite of all time?
See, I would have to break it down by era.
Okay.
Let's hit Big Rev first, and then I'll give you my couple here.
Okay.
Okay. Big Rev, who's your favorite all time?
And when I started watching it, the 80s era, of course, was Randy Macho Man. He kind of like...
Okay.
I don't know. What about Macho
Man? By the way... Did anybody notice Macho Man sitting in the front row both nights?
Oh, the dude that was dressed
up
like
Macho Man.
Yeah, I seen him. Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
I would All say right.
Macho Man.
I say Macho Man and Ric Flair. And then 90s, late 90s, I would have to say The Rock was one of them. And then I would have to go The Rock probably in 90. And it's, of course, you know, everyone loves Stone Cold. You know, everyone loves
Stone Cold.
So I was more of like a Triple H guy. And then in probably in the 2000s, man, there's just been so many, man. Like, I can't really pinpoint how many I love. But now, I'll go ahead and fast forward to now. Now, I think Gunther is one of the greatest in the ring. Kevin Owens is one of my favorites. And then of course, you know, Cody's good too, but yeah, I mean, I got so many wrestlers, man. I can't just pinpoint one. It's like music artists.
I got,
you know,
I gotta say if I had to pick one right now off the top of my head, probably Cody, because I don't follow it as closely as I used to. And you know, he's fresh right now, but the women fighters, all of them badass, they're great.
They're it's nothing like it used to be.
And that's what I texted to my wife. I sent her some pictures of it, and I went, this ain't Fabulous Moolah and Sherry Martel no more.
Oh, no.
But, you know, back Superstars era, you know, I have a few favorites. So the top would probably be Piper.
Yes, man, I forgot Piper. That one. Yes, he's my favorite heel of all time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's just great. But back then, I loved watching Junkyard Dog and Coco Beware. Those were some of my biggest favorites back then. I was not a huge Hulk Hogan fan. Of course, Honky Tonk Man, Macho Man. I got to see Honky Tonk Man fight Macho Man in a steel cage, and it was fantastic. You get into Superstars era, and man, I missed like Godfather, and you know, of course, there's the Rock and Stone Cold. Those are straight giveaways. But then you got who were the Dudley Boys?
Oh, Bubba.
They were
Bubba
fun,
Ray and Devon.
You know. Yeah, yeah, and you know, they came out of ECW, and I went, "Where's the other one?"
Yeah,
they didn't keep him. Yeah, so I guess the blood doesn't run that thick, but it's just it goes through eras. I'm really glad to see the generational wrestlers. You know, like Charlotte Flair and Cody Rhodes. And I would even be open to, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would even be open to some cover between the UFC and the WWE. You know, I don't know how you work it into the storyline, but I think you could. And I think
it'll happen eventually. I think it will.
Yeah.
So, well thank you, Big Rev, for coming on the show.
No problem.
All right, Big Rev, thanks a lot. New album coming out when?
Oh, well,
new
singles. The singles coming out. Yeah,
when it's ready.
But the singles drop in April 19th. So
April 19th. Awesome. And check them out on Facebook and everything else.
Yeah, so. What is it? Big Rev, or is it Big, yeah, Big Rev hyphen period. Rev or
Big Rev period?
Big Rev
on Facebook.
Period.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Big Rev.
Thank you.
What's up, Jermaine?
Yep.
Much love, brother.
Yep.
Love you, bro.
And love you too, man.
And what do we say, Dave?
Happy trails.
Happy trails, everybody.
Happy trails. Peace out.
Rock Salt Musecast Experience with Aaron, Dave,
Patrick, and Jermaine
on a mission from God.
His glory, never worry about my flaws, cause he died for me, VIP baby. It's not Big Rev, no entry in my section, cause the blood that he shed can't cross the bloodline, cause I'm saved by his name. But when God speaks to me, the game don't change, cause I hit the streets, hit the hood, hit the black, never stop, wreck the beat, spit the heat, can't you tell, never sleep. I'm on that Holy Ghost, I'm down in all the Jesus smoke. I wanna see the world talk, I wanna see the city show. Tell never sleep. I'm on that Holy Ghost, I'm nailing all the Jesus smoke. I wanna see the world talk. I wanna see the city show. Still in the game, but it ain't about us. We put Jesus on the paper like a God. We trust, we in the kingdom. So in God we trust. We soldiers in the streets, rapping on these tracks. We bust my swag's all when I rep that Christ. And if it ain't the gospel, they ain't shining, cause I fade their lights. I praise Jesus, say about that life. I'm in VIP like OG, cause he paid the price. It like we own it, and we doing what we do. I'm classic like you, I guess. Sure, you fit the shoe. I'm with the king like I'm Stephen. Never scared to keep believing. No, any given Sunday, cross the thunder, really beaming. I keep the Lord close like I do my wife at night. The wife be the status, even though my skills are tight. I was never gone. Was it divination? Speaking to the Lord, living by how to reach a nation. In the booth, sweating. I smell like Jim Clancy, bro. If you listen real close, my heart's a stereo. Volume to the max. It's bumping Big Rams back, my guys got my back. I'm ready for the attack, I see it's been the pool. I missed a loan with a smoke. This world's got a stitch, time to flush commode. We live by the word, we die by the word. Rest in peace to my flesh, it's the best you ever heard. Still in the game.